Okay, so diving into Emmanuel, the premise for the scripture for this whole series is Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. And Matthew's really quoting Isaiah, who prophesied this 750 years before Jesus was born. About ish, 750 years ish. But it says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel meaning God with us. Reminds me of John chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God." And then we skip down to John 1, 14. It says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." God became flesh. Jesus didn't come in the flesh 2,000 years ago just so that he could die on the cross, rise again, so that you could get to heaven one day in the sweet by and by, but still not experience, just experience hell on earth today. I'm going to say that one again. Jesus didn't come, God didn't come in the flesh 2,000 years ago to die on a cross, rise again, so that you could experience heaven one day in the sweet by and by, but nothing but hell on earth today. God came in the flesh 2,000 years ago so he could be with you in spirit today, so that he could wash you clean and restore your created value to make you a home for himself, so that Emmanuel, God, could be not just with you, but also in you, so that you could know him. Eternal life is knowing God. And eternal life starts as soon as you've been born again. You can know him now and experience everything that comes along with that. That's some good news of great joy. Will you guys say that with me? Good news of great joy. Whew, man, you guys are in it today. You're gonna hear that phrase a lot. Good news of great joy. Do you realize that it is possible that your normal be perfect peace and great joy? I know for a lot of people that's not normal. Perfect peace and great joy is not normal. As a matter of fact, let me think about that person. Get that person in your mind who they go through crazy, stressful things in their life. At least it seems that way from the outside looking in. You know, and even sometimes you see the bottom fall out of their life. Maybe there's a death in the family, somebody that was close to them, or, you know, somebody gets diagnosed with a terminal illness that the doctors say, or their sickness, and man, they get all this other responsibility at the job, or they lose their job, and it really seems as if, oh my gosh, they should be really freaking out right now. Why aren't you freaking out? But they seem to have perfect peace and great joy in the midst of all of it. And when you see it, you're almost like, it's incomprehensible a little bit. You're a little dumbfounded by it, but yet it's attractive. It's attractive because you're created for it. See, they actually believe that they're a born again new creation in Christ Jesus, and they're experiencing the love and joy of being led by the Spirit instead of distracted by the way the world thinks. Many people, when they see that, and even a lot of Christians say, oh, they're just in denial. Oh, they're just pushing down feelings deep down inside, and one day they're just going to blow up. You just wait. You just watch and see. That can't be it. Not realizing that that person is actually responding out of the overflow of peace and joy, because once again, they actually believe the gospel matters for every moment of their life. And so they're experiencing the results of the gospel in every moment, in the midst of every situation. But most people don't have a grid for that. And the reason is because it's not normal for them. So they say, that's not real because it's not my reality. Right? See, we have two options. We can see the person walking in an incomprehensible like peace and joy, and we can get to know them and learn from them. If they're in Christ, we can get to know them, learn from them, and understand, wait a second, this came from Jesus because this is the result of the gospel in their life. So we learn from them, and then the Bible says imitate their faith because God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So the way that they came to that understanding, so the fruit of their life is peace and joy, is the same way you're going to come to that understanding. So why don't we humble ourselves, and instead of trying to explain it away as that's impossible for me, is learn that the same way Jesus is working in them, he can work in you in the same way, and your life can experience the same thing. Or we can explain it away as that's not real because that's not my reality. And live in your truth, which is not the truth, which means it's a lie. Amen? Amen? The other day I was buying something at Publix. And so when I get to the end of the line and ladies checking me out, I just love to strike up a conversation. And I love to call them by name. I read their little name tag. People love to be called by name. You know, I don't remember her name now. But the name tag really helps. So let's just call her Sally. Sally, how's your day going, Sally? Because I just love to ask that. And she said, oh, it's going good. And then I catch people off guard because I ask them a follow-up question. Really, Sally, what's making your day go good? Why is it good? And people are like, oh, why would you ask that? Well, I care. But no, she didn't go, oh, why would you ask that? Probably on the inside. But she thought about it for a second, and she said, I guess my day's going good because nothing bad has happened. And, you know, I finish checking out, and I walk away, and I begin to ponder her statement. And my heart broke for her. Because that would mean her day's only good if nothing bad happens. And if something bad happens, then it's probably real bad. And many Christians live the same way. How they're doing is defined by what's going on around. And so they live a mountaintop and valley experience when that's not the experience that the Bible tells us. We're supposed to live from glory to glory. So I'm only good if I'm doing good. And when I pray to God, I pray that I'll have a better day. And if I don't have a better day, then God must not have answered my prayer. Where is he at? And as soon as something bad happens, stress and anxiety rip me to shreds. And then at the end of the day, maybe I even wonder, well, God, why are you doing this to me? Why won't you hear me? Why won't you answer my prayer? Jesus didn't die and rise again so that you could have a better day. Jesus actually said, in this world you'll have trouble. But then he said, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And if you've been born again and God is with you and he lives in you, then the one who's overcome the world is inside of you. And if you're walking with your eyes on that fact, not taking your eyes off that fact, then no matter the trouble around you, you can overcome because he has overcome. See, perfect peace and great joy, the joy unspeakable, full of glory type of joy, come from believing the gospel. The word gospel means good news, and not just believing it one day when you walk the aisle, but believing that it matters for every moment of your life. And there's a promise in the gospel for everything, every circumstance, every situation that you're going through. Good news of great joy. Good news of?
Great joy.
That's what the angel announced anyway. Luke chapter 2. Verses 8 through 10 says, In the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. You mind if I go on a bunny trail for 30 seconds? I wasn't going to say this. I planned on it, and then I wasn't, but now I am. A lot of times we assume that they were filled with fear because the angels were there. And that may be the case. But let me put a little other thought. It says the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. They experienced God in a way they weren't used to, and they were filled with fear. And the messenger from God said, don't fear. Could it be that the thing that's preventing us from experiencing and walking in the deeper realities of the Lord that He wants to call us to, from actually believing there for us, is that we're afraid of it? And could it be that the Holy Spirit is telling you through me right now, fear not? There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. I know that Proverbs 9:10 says fear is the beginning of wisdom, and it is. Fear is the beginning of wisdom, but then it goes on to say, the next phrase says, but knowledge of the Holy One is insight. See, I'm afraid of what I don't know in Him, but in that fear, I can either run from Him or run to Him. And if I run from Him, I'll never know Him deeper. But if I use that fear as an alarm bell to say, wait a second, I don't know God in this area like I could. So then I run to Him because I know His love casts out fear, so I probably shouldn't be feeling that fear. That's just a signal that I don't know Him like I could. So then I use that fear as an alarm bell to run to my Heavenly Father, and as I run to Him, I get to know Him more deeply, and I realize that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, and I'm perfectly loved by Him. So that fear that was the beginning, the showing that I needed wisdom, now turns to insight in knowing my God. Bunny trails. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 10, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you. Oh, let's do that one more time. For behold, I bring you. You can't help but smile when you really say that. That will be for the frozen chosen. I'm sorry, that's not what it says. It says for all people. Good news of great joy for all people. The good news of the gospel brings great joy for the rest of your life. Why? See, this angel was proclaiming that a king is coming to establish His kingdom. And when the king came, Jesus, He began preaching, and let's just see what the king began to proclaim. He said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, this is the very first word that Jesus preached, the very first phrase Jesus began to preach. It says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Another version says, has come near. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. In this phrase, understanding this is good news of great joy that doesn't ever have to leave you. Repent. We have to understand what repentance means. What does it mean, the word repent? It means simply, like really simply, just to change your mind. To change your thinking. That is repentance. Oh, that can't be all that repentance is. Oh, yes, it is. Absolutely, because Romans 12:2 says, as I renew my mind, as I change my mind, my life is transformed. So when I change my mindset, my life will change. The direction of my whole life will change. To repent. Change your mindset from what? Mind if I step on a toe? Don't worry, it'll be gentle. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is telling the disciples about how he's going to experience great suffering and die. And Peter pulls Jesus aside and he rebukes him and says, that's not going to happen on my watch. And you know what Jesus says? Get behind me, Satan. He says, you're a hindrance to me. You don't have in the mind the things of God, but the things of man. Now, I don't mean to step on your toe here, but maybe I do because I love you. And we need to understand this so we're not destroyed for lack of knowledge. There's only two mindsets if we back out. There's really only two mindsets. You either think according to the kingdom of the world or the kingdom of God. You either think according to the kingdom of heaven or you think according to the kingdom of hell. That's it. Jesus said to Peter, you don't have in mind the things of God, but the things of man. And if we think according to the culture of the world, of man, of what men grew up thinking all along and think is logical, if we think that way, Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. It's a hindrance to the gospel. So we either repentance is changing the way that we always thought according to the logic of this world, and I'm changing my mindset to think like God. The religious say, whoa, did he just say that? Oh, yeah, I did. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. Don't worry, it's scripturally backed. God is good. God is in you. He loves you. And we're repenting of the way that the world thinks in order to change our mindset to think like God. And as we do, we exemplify him. Why? Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of your heavenly Father as dearly loved children. How can we imitate him if we're constantly not thinking like he does? Amen? You guys follow me? Yes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. My dad always says that. And you know, you just see somebody so much and you hang around them so much, the what they say comes out of your mouth too. Did you catch that? Yes. All right. So we understand repentance now, right? Okay, repent why? Because the kingdom of heaven has come near to you. Now, Jesus never stopped preaching this. It says from that time on, he continued preaching, repent for the kingdom of heaven has come near to you. That means he preached it till the day he died, rose again, and he's still preaching it today. That's why it's coming from this pulpit. Repent for the kingdom of heaven has come near to you. So in order to understand what it means by the kingdom of heaven has come near, we have to understand what a kingdom is. A kingdom... Man, you guys look great today. Look, man, almost every seat is filled. That's cool. That's how his house should be. Jesus, man. Lord God, I pray for every one of their friends, every one of their enemies, every one of their neighbors that don't know Jesus. Lord God, I pray you bring them to church so they can experience who you are. Well, first, bring them to them so they can experience who you are through them. And then, Father God, I pray through them they come to church, Lord God, so that they can be a part of the body and Pinellas County is changed forever. Squirrel, I got distracted. All right, so repent for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Let's get back on track. In order to understand what a kingdom is, or in order to understand that, we have to understand what a kingdom is. And a kingdom is anywhere where the king has authority. Right? All right. And when the king takes authority of a new territory, he brings the culture of the kingdom to that area. Would you agree? Okay, great. So there's one day where every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And on that day, it'll be an amazing day for many, and it'll be a sad day for many as well. Because on that day, the king himself will give them whatever kingdom, will put them in whatever kingdom they chose to live in this world. And so on that day, they'll be forced to recognize his lordship and his authority. And those that didn't choose to live under his authority in this world will be destined to live where they chose in the kingdom of hell. But praise the Lord, in this day and age, in this time frame, we have an invitation. He's not going to force his authority on you because he's an amazing, loving king. But he's inviting you, and he wants to be invited by you to take authority over every area of your life. Inside. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within you. So what that means is I want to invite him to have authority. Jesus said, you can't be my disciple unless you first deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Denying yourself is saying, I'm not Lord of my life. I don't have authority over my life anymore. I give you authority here because I'm a part of your kingdom, Jesus. And when that happens, the king takes authority over your life and begins to establish the culture of the kingdom in your life. What is the culture of the kingdom? Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says, his kingdom is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness. Everybody say righteousness. Righteousness. Peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, some people leave that Holy Spirit out of there. Well, you ain't gonna experience joy or peace. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's awesome. Who's the Holy Spirit? He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. Right? Doesn't Emmanuel mean God with us? Okay. So when we place our life under his authority, not just our life, when we place inside of us our thoughts, our desires, everything, we submit it to his authority, then everything begins to experience the culture of the kingdom, righteousness, peace, and joy. And any area of our heart, of our thinking, of our life that doesn't experience or exemplify righteousness, peace, and joy is probably an area that's not submitted to the king. Let that sit. I got great news for you. Good news of great joy, actually. When you initially, you believe Jesus died, you believe he rose again, and then you confess him as Lord with your mouth, but then your life begins to confess him as well. Why? You've been born again, and Jesus has come into your heart and set up his throne there. You're his temple. And so in an instant, you have been perfected. I'll show you in Scripture. Don't believe me unless I show you in Scripture. Let's go to Hebrews. Did I give you Hebrews? Hebrews 10:14. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Now I'm about to say some truth here that's going to make your religious seat struggle. A lot of people say, well, nobody's perfect. That's a lie. Those who have been those who have given their life to Jesus have been perfected for all time. In Christ, I'm perfect. Not in myself, I'm perfect in Christ. When God looks at me, he sees the perfection of Jesus. And if God says that over my life, how dare I let my religiosity downgrade that? Now, the more that I believe the truth of his word about me, the more my life is sanctified or made holy, which means set apart. The more my life looks set apart for the kingdom of the world. So when the kingdom of the world sees my life, they see Jesus. They see perfect peace and perfect joy. And the less that I believe that, the less my life exemplifies the perfect peace and perfect joy that comes from understanding righteousness. That's what I'm talking about. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that he who knew no sin became sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, which means you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And God is 100% righteous, which means when he sees you, he sees his righteousness. Stop downgrading yourself and calling it humility. But believe it. See, righteousness is the structure of the kingdom. And when he sets up his kingdom in you, your structure is now righteousness. Amen? Righteousness means right standing with God. That's part of it, right standing with God. So I can know no matter what, I'm in right standing with God. So he's standing right next to me. But not only is he next to me because he's made me clean, he's in me at all times. Emmanuel, God with me. And if I never take my eyes off of that, then I can have peace that passes understanding and joy unspeakable, full of glory, no matter the circumstance going on. Is that truth? It's truth. But we get so caught up in teaching them filthy, rotten sinner. And before Jesus, we were a filthy, rotten sinner. But either we've been born again or not. And the fact is that God loves the filthy, rotten sinner. And he wants them to be born again. He's calling them to his kingdom, saying, I have so much more for you. Let me make you clean. That's not even my focus anymore, the filthy, rotten sinner stuff. The Bible says when your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. Why? Because what you focus on becomes what you exemplify. I want my eye singularly focused on Jesus. So my whole body is full of light, which means light overflows out and impacts everyone else. Why would I focus on sin? What I focus on, I repeat. If I've really been forgiven and it's really separated from me as far as the east is from the west, you know, praise the Lord, good news, be lifted up in him, believe his word, let's move forward in faith. See, I'm saved by grace through faith. All that I'm telling you is grace, giving you what you don't deserve. You don't deserve righteousness. You don't deserve right standing with him. You don't deserve those things. I'm not saying I do either. I don't. But praise the Lord, his word says what I have just told you, and I believe it by faith. So I am saved, but I continue to believe it by faith, no matter the circumstance. And more, my life exemplifies Jesus because my eyes are on what he said, not whether or not I'm having a better day. Righteousness is your structure, church. It's who you are. Because you've placed your life under his authority and he's establishing the culture of the kingdom. And his kingdom is in you. Righteousness. And from that structure flows peace and
joy and the Holy Spirit.
Can't forget that. Holy Spirit is important. Okay. Peace. I think we can move on from righteousness. Let's go to peace because we have a strong structure. Do you realize peace is not an option? If you're a disciple of Christ, peace is not an option. Peace is a command. Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Meaning, this is not a gift you earned. You receive it from me. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Then he commands us, do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's a command. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, the thinking of man, remember, we only think according to the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of hell. The kingdom of God or the kingdom of man? The kingdom of man says, oh, anxiety is a normal thing. It should be normal for your life. If you're not experiencing fear and anxiety, then, you know, there's something wrong with you. But the kingdom says, Jesus says in his kingdom, he says, do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, because I've given you my peace. Now let's do some analytical thinking here. Jesus gave us his peace. Jesus' peace is pretty big. Is Jesus' peace bigger than the situation I'm going through? Is there any situation that is bigger than Jesus' peace? And so it's not my peace that I have because I'm in the kingdom. It's his. So I'm not trusting in my peace. I'm trusting in his. And his peace is bigger than every situation. So I never have an excuse. Right? So whenever I lose my peace, I need to go back and find where I left it. And when I find that place, I need to repent. I need to change my mindset that caused me to lose my peace. Because in that moment, I went from thinking like the kingdom of heaven to thinking like the kingdom of hell. And it created hell in my life for the next however long. So when I lose my peace, I need to go back to where I left it and repent and stop blaming what everybody else did and blaming your loss of peace on them or blaming your loss of peace on the circumstance or the situation or whatever it is, because Jesus' peace, you've already confessed, is bigger than that. And say, wait a second. You gave me your peace. I'll give you an example of this in my own life. I've shared it with a few of you. I took my son to Legoland. It was awesome. But that morning, I was on the phone with a bank and trying to get an online issue fixed that I've called and tried to get fixed multiple times. And I feel like I've wasted between 6 and 10 hours on hold / with the operator. / getting transferred from this department to the next department to the next department. Has anybody ever experienced that before? It's frustrating, right? Yeah. So my son and I are just beginning this trip, and I'm trying to just get this done real quick so I can enjoy the rest of my day. And man, I have some patience. I've grown in that area. But I'm getting to the end of my patience. And so I'm on the phone, and it gets to that time, all right, I've had enough. Let me talk to your manager. And I, you know, that I feel peace leaving me. I'm aware. And I start getting frustrated. And you realize that frustration is, when you get frustrated, it's because things aren't going the way that you want them to. Every time. And so my focus becomes my frustration. And I start to try to take control and make it happen. And so then I quit exemplifying the fruit of the Spirit. And so as this lady's responding to me, you know, after about 15 minutes, and I know I've lost my peace. I'm having a conversation with the Holy Spirit as this lady's talking to me. And I'm like, I realized, I went back to where I left it. It was where I started to take control and get aggravated. And I began to repent. I'm like, Lord, I give you control. I give you authority to this. I know you're going to tell me what I need to say and what I need to do. And this will work out when it's supposed to work out. I trust you. So that was my prayer of repentance as this lady's talking to me. And then the Holy Spirit says, hang up. I've been on the phone for another 20 minutes. Are you serious? Now I have to act according to my repentant heart. Otherwise, it wasn't true repentance. So I was like, well that'll be rude. I got to at least wait till she's done talking. So she finished talking, and she goes to transfer me to another department. And on hold, while I'm on hold, I hang up. And the Holy Spirit says in my heart, don't call back today. And so I have to continue to walk out that repentance. God, I give this to you. Thank you, Jesus. This is yours. I repented. I know that I'm forgiven because you said that I'm forgiven. Thank you for leading me in this. I stand here. Now, I know I did everything my Lord told me to. I gave him authority. I took authority, lost peace, then I gave him authority back. Now I'm standing here and I still feel like I have a lack of peace, even though I know I've done everything in him. And once again, just so you know, you don't earn peace. God gives it to you. And he disciplines you because he loves you, on how to walk in that peace and exemplify it in every area, right? So that I didn't earn my peace back. I'm just following my king, my father, okay? Now, I'm standing here in the truth of what I know, and then this is when the enemy wants to come and give condemnation. You didn't do enough. I can't believe you said those things. Oh, you're not standing in peace. So this condemnation comes. Now I have the choice to either try to figure out what else I did wrong or to stand in what I know. See, the Bible says when you abide in the truth, then you will know the truth, or remain in the truth, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So I have the choice to be frantic like I did something wrong again or just to stand in what I already know. So I stand. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. So I stand resisting, standing in what I already know. And about 10 minutes later, all the peace came back. And guess what? After peace comes a good joy. And me and Tripp, for the rest of his birthday, man, we just enjoyed Legoland. It was awesome and it was wonderful. And I learned a lesson that day. When you lose your peace, go back and figure out where you left it and repent. Amen? So his kingdom's a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and in the Holy Spirit, and joy unspeakable, full of glory. You realize that the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength? If the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength, and it's true, then that would mean you're only as strong as you are joyful. And if you're only as good as your day is going, then all the enemy has to do to get you off track is to make you frustrated. And then you lose your joy, you lose your peace, and you're questioning your righteousness. And you're questioning if God's even with you anymore. And now you're weak because you've lost your joy. And so then all he has to do is tempt you and you fall. Like putty in his hands. But you're not. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So now you know. Now you don't have to be destroyed anymore in those areas. And you can be strong. Amen? So then how do I have joy? Philippians 4 tells us. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. It doesn't say rejoice always. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. So I'm not rejoicing in my circumstance that's terrible. I'm rejoicing in the Lord in the midst of my circumstance that's terrible. And if the Bible says rejoice in the Lord always, he's not going to tell you something that's impossible. So quit acting like it's impossible and telling everybody else that they're in denial when they're rejoicing in the middle of their circumstance. They're rejoicing in the Lord. You should follow them, their lead, and imitate their faith so you can have the same peace and joy. Amen? Rejoice in the Lord always. I can rejoice in him because he is victorious, and not only is he with me, he's in me, and that means in him I am victorious, and I don't know how this circumstance is going to work out, but I know he who's in me is going to work it out for good for me because that's what his word says. So I can rejoice regardless, and the world around me will see his kingdom through me, and they will be attracted to it and want to know Jesus. Will the band come up? It's time to sing. And some of you, my prayer is all of you, every single one of you under the sound of my voice and those that are watching online, because we're online now. Praise the Lord. We're streaming on our website. It's great. And on YouTube, you can go and post the link on your Facebook so people can see it. But some people online need to do this too. You need to, as we're singing this song, you need to go back where you lost your peace. Repent, change your thinking, change your mindset, and then rejoice in the Lord now, which is a part of always, right? It's important that there's a physical action, a physical representation of what is spiritually happening. Remember, I repented in my heart and God told me an action to do. Hang up the phone. There's always a physical representation of what we've spiritually decided. Faith without works is dead. The work shows that the faith was real. Amen? So my challenge to you is, because many of you in the beginning when I first said, when we first sang the song, catch me up in your glory, all my life's for your story. My God, my joy, my delight. My joy and my delight, he's your joy, he's your delight. And many people couldn't sing that because of what they're going through, because they were only as good as their day was going. But now you realize, if you've been born again, you're in his kingdom, and so you have righteousness, peace, and joy in Christ, so you can rejoice in all circumstances. So I challenge you to forget about the way that you've always done church, that's comfortable, and to close your eyes, receive from the Lord, and rejoice all out. You ever been to a concert that you really liked the person, and that song came on, and you're like, oh, yes, couldn't help it. This is that song for you, because it's going to set you free. Ever been to a football game, and your team's coming up from behind, and they score a touchdown, and you're like, yeah! You're like, I don't know where that came from. I never do that. That's this song for you, if you'll let it. Believe, go back and repent, change your mindset, and let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Let his peace that passes all understanding invade your heart once again, because you understand righteousness, and he's with you, and he's in you. That's for all the believers. If you've never been born again, that's for you too. But you need to be born again. You need to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Would everybody just take a moment to bow your head, close your eyes? I want to give people the opportunity to receive Jesus. If as I'm talking about this, it's attractive to you, and you know you don't know Jesus, but right now you realize I need to have a relationship with this King, with Jesus Christ. I need to invite him into my life and give him the authority over my heart so I can walk with him from this day forward. If you've never done that, and you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, would you raise your hand high? I see you. Anybody else? Raise your hand high. Those of you online, if you're watching too, and you're like, that's me, I want you to message us. Here's what I want you to do. If as we're singing, the Holy Spirit convicts you of that, I want you to come talk to me and Courtney. We want to pray with you. We want to lead you into life with Jesus. You raise your hand, you feel that's you. We want to lead you into a life with Jesus. For the rest of you, I want you to step out in peace and joy because you've acting out what you're doing in your heart, repentance. And then let's live the rest of our life that way. Let's stand and worship the King. Thank you for tuning in today to the Real Church Podcast. I pray that you walk away from today encouraged with a deeper understanding of how much God loves you. If you'd like to connect with us, we can't wait to reach out to you and pray for you. You can go to realchurch.us/connect. And then also, if you would like to give to what God is doing in and through our ministry, you can do so at realchurch.us/giving, or you can text any amount to 84321, and then just search in the link that comes up, search for Real Church Clearwater. God bless you, and the best is yet to come.